Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
It is out of hand in the center field, and this game is over. Got him. And that's a perfect game. Swing and a miss. The Giants are world champions.
Welcome to the Giants Insider Podcast on CSNBayArea.com. Introducing your host, San Francisco Giants Insider, Alex Pavlovich.
Hey everybody, welcome to, I guess this is the season premiere of season two of our Giants Insider Podcast. Pretty similar to what we did last year. I'm going to aim for players, coaches, the manager, management, media, not just national guys, but maybe visiting beat writers, and aim for one a week is what we usually try to do. And in spring training, I think with all the prospects around and all the kids that you may not have met and may have stories to tell, maybe we'll do more than that. I think we will do more than that during the spring. So as always, I will say the same thing. Best thing you can do is subscribe, whether it's on iTunes or wherever you listen to this. A lot of times I'll post it the night before, so it's ready for your commute or your walk in the morning, whatever you have going on there. The guest today is somebody who you're going to hear a lot of. Is Tyler Beede, the top prospect on a lot of lists for the Giants, their top pitching prospect, certainly, and somebody who is not really just a big part of the future, but also could be a part of 2017 and what they do later this season. And for Tyler, that should start this spring. Before we get started, a couple things on this. One, there's about a 1.5, 2 minute run in there where there's a lawnmower in the background. It's spring training for everybody, so we're all kind of getting used to everything that's going on, and shout out to that guy who is working in the background. The second thing, I'm going to give a shout out to Tyler, because during the podcast he mentioned that he hit about 300 last year, and usually that doesn't sound right for a pitcher, especially somebody that we don't really know his reputation at the plate. But I looked it up after the podcast, and he is just about correct. He hit 280 last season in 25 at-bats. He's a 290 career hitter in the minors. So Tyler can hit. We know he can pitch. And here you can hear him talk. This is Tyler Beede.
Yep.
Tyler Beede, first day off the mound today. It looked like you were throwing pretty hard right out there, right off the bat. I mean, obviously a big spring for you. It looked like you came out ready to go.
Yeah, I certainly feel prepared. I've been trying to stay sharp for the last month or so throwing bullpens, and knowing this day would come. I mean, it's certainly a week earlier than most spring training starts, so I don't want to let it loose too much. But for me, that's just my intent. That really feels normal to me. So it feels good. I'm glad how the first day went, and excited for more days to come.
How much easier is it being here a second time? I know last year I think you had once either start or appearance that maybe didn't go as well as you'd want, maybe yeah. Nerves, but being out here a second time, how much easier does that make the process for you?
Yeah, much easier. I think just the comfortability is a lot better. And for me, the better I am is when I'm more comfortable. So just being around these guys a second year, being around the coaching staff, getting more acclimated with these guys' names, with their personalities, it allows me to kind of be myself and allows me to enjoy the process a little bit more. Last year I was nervous, but excited at the same time. Tried to do too much because I knew I only had one or two appearances. So this year, knowing that I'll have an opportunity to compete at a longer length and really, really just be myself out there is going to be an exciting opportunity.
So we're just in there talking to Buster Posey about catching Mark Melancon, and you have caught Mark Melancon. How did that come about?
That's funny, yeah. So Mark and I work out at Ben Fairchild's place in Houston, Texas in the off season, and so we actually started throwing the same day and really just kind of progressed together. So we played catch together, and once we started getting off the mound, I was his catching guy, and he caught me as well. And man, I'll tell you, he's sharp right from the get-go, and I'm sure Buster said the same thing. He's pinpointing, and I think that's what makes him so good. He's got that low and away pitch that he just dots and can really sequence his pitches really well. So, yeah, I've had the pleasure of playing catch with him and catching a bullpen, and he lives up to the hype, that's for sure.
Did you know him before he signed with the Giants, or Have you guys worked out together, I guess, in the past?
Yeah, so I've known him for about 2 years now, and just before he started kind of getting interested in, or he was going through that process of talking with the Giants, you know, I had really expressed to him what my thoughts are on the Giants and how happy, you know, I was with the development staff and the strength staff, the sports science, because he's so, you know, well thought out of in terms of doing the process. He does his due diligence and really figuring out, you know, his methods and how they fit in with the Giants and things like that, and it was a perfect fit. And so being able to talk to him about that kind of thing, I'm not sure if it helped or anything like that, but it was cool to kind of get to know him through that process.
He, after he signed, I interviewed with him. We turned that into a podcast, and he said one of the things he said was he wants to take on a leadership role here and kind of be that guy. He wants to be the Hunter Pence for the bullpen. What have you seen from him in your workouts? And obviously, working out with the top pitching prospect is a good way to start as a leader. What have you seen in that respect?
I've seen exactly that. He is a leader, and he takes control of conversations, and he really does a great job of implementing wisdom and really doing a good job of guiding you through things that he's learned in the game. And he is he's not shy about wanting to talk to you about things and really be a leader when it comes to, you know, how to go about the game the right way and how to put the work in and the routine that you can have in place so that you can recover better, so that you can put your body in great shape to withstand a full season. And he's a guy who's had a ton of success as of late, and his routine and process has worked for him, and he does a good job of being a leader as well, and it really makes his game well-rounded.
Remember last year you said for you the process was putting on weight, and what was it, 25, 30 pounds, or you said most of it in your legs, and just getting there. What this year, having already done that, what was the process this year in trying to be ready for this spring?
Yeah, so repeating the same process aside from putting on another 30 pounds. So I maintained my weight it's been about 14 months now, which is, you know, a first for me. I'm not sure if it's just a consistent eating, nutritional plan, but for me, really just repeating the same thing. So getting in the gym, the same thing as last year, 4 to 5 days a week, and starting my throwing program the same, and really just keeping that progression so that I can stay consistent, and staying consistent with my mechanics, my body, it allows me to be more repeatable on the mound. And so I'm just looking forward to that opportunity to go out there and try to do the same thing I did last year and compete and have fun.
How do you even put on 30 pounds? How do you start the process if I'm going to bulk up?
So I'd say the first recommendation is go on a 7-day cruise, which is all-inclusive, so you can eat all you can. So it's a good 10 pounds.
I remember
starter.
Your photos from that. So that was actually a training regimen.
That's like exactly. So it's like, you know, you get a vacation out of it, but also you get a jump start on the weight gain. So you get a little good 10 pounds out of that. But, dude, it's like peanut butter sandwiches at night with chocolate milk right before bed, waking up, having a huge breakfast, and really just making sure that you're eating throughout the day. And for me, it went on quick. I mean, I was light, so like that first 20 pounds came on naturally, just because I needed to have that weight on, and then the last 10 was tough, but it allowed me to be strong last year, finish strong, and hopefully will allow me to do that for years to come.
So the first time we saw you here, you said after you got drafted, I mean, some of the focus was being more of a, I think, command guy, not as much of a four-seam guy, and trying to do that. And then last year, I know by the end of the year, you're throwing 98. So what's kind of been the progression for you as you go through the minors?
I think that was a good mindset for me to have. I mean, just talking with Tidro and Burt Bradley and all the pitching coaches, they really allowed me to think differently about the game, think differently about pitching, and allow me to develop as that kind of command type of guy my first year, where I wasn't throwing hard, I was sinking it and cutting it. And then last year, really coming into my own, being more well-rounded and really implementing both those things that I learned the first year and really be more myself. You know, I'm a guy who's not gonna throw 70-80% strikes. I'll throw over 60-65% strikes, but a guy who's gonna get up there velocity and mix pitches, and you know, I love strikeouts, but try to be you know, in and out of there in three pitches or less and go deep into a ball game. And so I was happy with the results from last year. The walk numbers did come down, but for me, walks used to scare me back in the day in college just because it was something people always harped on. But for me, you know, walks aren't a bad thing. I mean, if you walk a guy here or there, it's not the worst thing in the world, as long as you're, you know, getting a double play and just really just being yourself, trusting the process out there.
Could you kind of feel the big fastball coming back a little bit last year? I mean, we go off of what scouts tell us and readings that we get. And to hear at the end of the year, I think you had one start, a big one right near the end there. And the Giants people were saying, we had him 98 last night. So could you feel that during the course of the year, kind of that weapon coming back?
Yeah, I mean, I felt strong all year, strong from the beginning, and my velocity even got better as the year went on. I think it was just a product of being consistent with my mechanics and really getting into my legs well, and I was happy my arm felt fresh, and yeah, even towards the end of the year, just being able to trust my pitches, it allows you to get a little bit more behind the ball instead of aiming it, instead of cutting yourself off, were things that I would have to correct in the past. And I think, you know, all of that, you know, timing and everything being in sync allows you to get a little bit more velocity on the ball. And being strong all year allowed me to finish strong with my velocity at the end of the year as well.
You're kind of in that mix here as a guy being looked at for the fifth spot, or whether it's, you know, the guy who's maybe piggybacking off these guys a little bit, and then ideally, I guess, going to Sacramento and starting to be ready there. What do you hope to show the staff as opposed to last year and maybe show them more of who you are?
Yeah, absolutely. I think for the most part, it's just being myself, staying consistent, and not trying to do too much. You know, the more I just stay within, keep it simple, the better I am on the mound, and I think that's exactly what they want to see. You know, I'm confident that my stuff can play at that level. I've obviously never had that experience, but I think for me that's an edge that Bumgarner has taught me to have, being convicted in your stuff and knowing that you can get those guys out. And for me, that's something I learned last year. It took me a couple of months to develop through the season, but I think once you have that confidence that you can get those guys out, it takes you a little bit further. And so for me, I just want to go out there and be myself. I think locating fastball down and away is huge. You know, I don't want to be, you know, up and away to a righty. That's a ball that they pummel. So for me, just mixing my pitches, staying sharp with my off-speed pitches, which I'm happy about right now. But, you know, trusting Posey beyond the plate or Garcia or Hundley, whoever it may be, to really call a good game and be myself.
I know you're in the same bullpen group as Madison, and a lot of things here and there where you guys are running around, you're kind of doing things. How much are you trying to pick his brain and just get some of that edge that he has?
Yeah. All the time, and he does a good job of bringing it up without even me asking, specifically today in bunt drills, just giving me a few pointers on, you know, how he angles his bat and how he bunts. Obviously, he's the guy who doesn't really bunt that frequently, but when he does, it's really
good.
Him
doing bunt drills is my least favorite part of spring training. It's the last thing I want to see here.
Exactly. So he's the guy who you don't expect to bunt, but when he does do it, he's very impressive, and that just shows how meticulous he is. He cares about the small details of the game, and the more you pay attention to his routine and the way he goes about his business, you see the reason why he's so successful and so great. And, you know, for me, watching him is great to be around, but everything he says is so important and great for me to implement into my game, you know, where I may see fit. And so he does a great job. Melanson's always been great. And even you got guys like Will Smith and those guys have been awesome so far.
We've never seen this. Where are you as a hitter? What can you do up there? Can you,
you know,
do anything up there?
I'm right around a 300 hitter. Last year I hit a little bit below 300, but I'm confident at the plate. I will say that. I'm confident at the plate. I got the chance to hit off of Giolito last year. I got a hit. Freeland, I got a hit as well. And then the guy on the Rockies, who's the funky right-handed sinker, he was rehabbing with in Double-A last year, and I got a hit off him as well. So I'm confident at the plate. I don't got mad bump power, but I've been known to put one out in BP, so I think I'll add to the pitching staff raking, hopefully. We'll see.
It's pretty competitive. Once Samardzija came in here, he started trying to keep up. I know Matt Moore last year, too, he talked about that as trying to get his swing going.
Yeah, we certainly take pride in our abilities to hit at the plate, be athletes on the mound, and be a little different. You know, we're not a staff that's just able to pitch. We have to hit as well, and so I think we do a good job of that. And we'll compete against each other, make each other better at the plate as well.
The fun stuff, we were joking about this the other day. I mean, your off-season from getting engaged to going to the Super Bowl to you have your website out now, your new single. How do we rank these? What's been the focus for you? Obviously, we know what you have to say is number one.
Yes,
so you can put that aside.
The engagement's number one. Okay, we'll put that aside. Happy Valentine's Day to my fiance, Hallie. And then, man, the Super Bowl is like the best sporting event I've ever been to. You know, we won a College World Series, but aside from that, unbelievable. And then what was the other one?
I guess your single.
The single's great. I mean, I've had that for a long time. I showed Crawford and the guys that last year. They were able to hear it and say their chirps at me last year and make fun of me. But so I released it this year finally, and, you know, I like it. I'm glad that it's out there. I think I've been wanting to for a while put it out there and just have it be something that people can either relate to, listen to, enjoy. And, you know, Chad Chopp had given me good feedback on it and loved it. And he's a guy who comes from a Christian family, and so he's relates to the faith-based, you know, version of the song. And so I'm excited that it's released out there.
I've been told the coaches have until Thursday to handle the BP music, and then it goes back to Crawford.
Yep.
Are you going to push to get on there? Has he talked to you about getting on there? Are we just going to see it when you're taking BP one day? You're all of a sudden you're singing to yourself.
We've talked about it, but I'm not going to force it. I've certainly dropped a couple hints, and he does a good job with the playlist, so I know he'll pick the right songs, and you know, I'm confident that it'll be on there one day. I'm not to say it'll be this spring training, but hopefully one day it's on there.
Obviously, when you got drafted, we all, you know, we right away go to Google, find out what this kid's about, yep. And everything that pops up and everything you probably saw on Twitter is your videos and all that. How much are you able to do that as a player? Because, I mean, you guys have bus rides, you have all this free time. How much is that part of what you do, or is that more of an off-season thing?
We do implement it here and there during the season, especially those long bus rides. Yeah, it's something that I think gives us an opportunity to just be fun and be goofy on those, you know, serious trips, whatever it may be, because once we step on the field, it's all business out there. You know, obviously you want to have fun, but it is all business. And then once we get to the locker room, before games, after games, and on road trips, I just like to loosen it up with whatever it may be. It could be music, it could be goofing around, dancing, stuff like that. I think that's, you know, once I get more comfortable around guys, you see it with Derek Law, he's just getting comfortable now.
And we see it with, yeah.
Right. So
quite a bit.
You know, that's why I'm great friends with Derek. I think we have similar personalities, and the more we're around these guys, the more we're around this environment, the more we become ourselves. And so it's fun, you know, this game's supposed to be fun. And I think when you have guys like that, it makes for a fun clubhouse and good chemistry.
So Derek was at the Super Bowl with you, but it wasn't, I mean, I guess by choice, but it wasn't like you guys decided we're going to the Super Bowl. What exactly happened there?
Well, I think what was publicized was that if the Steelers lost, he was buying Super Bowl tickets. That's what the bet was. But no, we just, after the Steelers played the Patriots, you know, we decided we were going to go. My dad figured out a way to get tickets for pretty much face value, which was incredible. And we're in section 305, which is like the corner of the end zone where the Patriots scored the overtime touchdown. And so Derek and I were there with my dad and brother. We got to go to some Super Bowl parties, the players tribute tailgate beforehand, and just enjoy that experience. And he got to come to Houston, Texas, and see what we're all about in Houston.
And people might not know, because you talk about Vanderbilt, and you're in Houston now, and you're a San Francisco Giant, but you're a Patriots guy. So it was kind of the ultimate for you.
Exactly. Yeah, man, I've been in the right places at the right time. So, yeah, being from Boston originally, I was out here in Arizona when they played the Seahawks. I didn't go to the game, which was a big reason why I wanted to go if they made it to Houston for the Super Bowl. And once they beat the Steelers, I was like, we got to go. You know, I'm going to be in the same place as the Super Bowl is for 2 years, and I got to go to this one. And so if it's Brady's last one, it was the best one ever, for sure.
That's a rough life, being from Boston and having the Patriots and the Celtics and the – what else do they have? I mean, Red Sox, obviously. And
the last Bruins.
Well, you grew up in all that. I mean, your childhood and your kind of adolescence was perfectly timed.
Perfectly timed. Yeah, I know it was tough for Sox fans growing up before me, but yeah, we've had what was it, like 10 championships or something like that in the last 17 years? Something crazy. It's really cool, and I think it's, you know, part of the reason why I love winning championships, just because I mean, everybody loves winning championships, but specifically guys
who are
around.
Didn't you win at Vandy, too?
We won one at Vandy, man.
You're that guy.
Luckily, I've been on some really good winning teams, and I think that'll continue here with the Giants.
Have you seen that kid who shows up at every parade with the sign with the, I'm 15 years old and this is my 10th parade, or something like that?
Spoiled,
that's
yeah.
basically your life. I'm going to get you out of here on this. This question I asked a lot of people last year and then petered out at some point, but you still being in the minor leagues, what's kind of a good minor league story? I know we see the life up here, but you guys are, like I mentioned, taking buses and in random airports. And what's something interesting that's happened to you over the last year or two?
There's a lot of them, but I'm going to have to go with Joe Nathan deciding to come to the Eastern League last year instead of go to AAA. And he was, so I think a lot of people don't know, he was given the opportunity, I believe, to either go to SAC and play with the PCL or come to the Eastern League and play with Richmond. And he decided he'd never played in the Eastern League before, so he'd give it a go. And one day he shows up in Reading, Pennsylvania, when we're playing the Phillies, and it's a pretty small locker room. He shows up, and, you know, I was pretty starstruck. I mean, it's Joe Nathan. He's a guy who's been around the game for a long time and done a lot in the game. And he's taken the bus trips with us. He doesn't really big league anything. He was, you know, immersed in us and immersed in getting to know us and being part of the team. And taking those long bus trips with us and being the guy who was just fun, being himself. We played cards with him and we exchanged stories, and he was a guy who has a wealth of knowledge. But that was really cool, you know, just to see a guy who was you know, older than a lot of us, had a lot of big league experience, but a guy who was, you know, humble enough to not, you know, be too big for that opportunity, be too big for being around minor league guys like that. So I think it just shows the type of guys that the Giants take a chance on and give an opportunity to, and what kind of personalities they like in this organization.
Remember last year when he made it back up, he said, I wanted to prove to myself I can make it back. And, it's for maybe sure. A cliche and one of those things, but I like what you just said, us knowing that he had gone to Richmond instead of saying I'm going to do a tryout or whatever, actually going through that. I mean, I think he kind of showed that was legitimate.
Exactly. It was important to him, and he wanted to go out there and see where he was at, see how well he could get guys out, see how well his stuff stacked up against those guys, especially where he was at in his career. And, man, he was sharp. You know, playing catch with them, watching him pitch. It was impressive that he could still do it and do it at the level that he was doing it. And it was awesome to see him get that call up in September. And so I was happy to even get to know a guy like that and play with him.
Well, Tyler, thank you for taking the time. This is the first podcast of the second year of the podcast.
There
you
go.
You get to be number one.
It's an absolute pleasure. I appreciate it, man.
Enjoy the spring, and I think the expectation for us is that we see you at some point during the season. Thanks, Tyler.
Thank you, man.
It is out of hand in the center field, and this game is over.
Got him.
And that's the perfect game. Swing and a miss. The Giants are world champions.
The Giants Insider Podcast on CSNBayArea.com.